97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on out there, everyone in Philadelphia, on a very cold, cold Saturday night? But the sun was shining all day long, and that was outstanding. Not as outstanding was the result in Tampa for the Philadelphia Flyers, though it was quite entertaining before all was said and done. Tampa came in hot, having won 9 in a row. And actually, I think equally impressive is the fact that they had won 21 of their last 24. And so you knew you had to be on top of your game. And in that 9-game winning streak prior to today, they had only given up 13 goals. So the fact that the Flyers not only got on the board, yes, they fell behind 3-0 before losing 5-3, but they certainly made it competitive. Really, when all was said and done, as you look at it, and it was said repeatedly, that their game Tuesday is a big one against Columbus, but Columbus will play at New Jersey tomorrow. The two are tied with 71 points. So you'll be rooting for New Jersey tomorrow, and then you will be rooting heavily for the home team on Tuesday to pick up those 2 points against the Blue Jackets. Are you excited about where the Flyers are right now? Because when you look at it and you go to the wild card standings, and it is them, Columbus and them, you know, every game it seems like you will kind of hang on to see if this is a playoff team. And so, I don't know, as you get closer there, I always feel like in the hockey standings, the win or the loss can send you quicker to, like, all of a sudden you're out of the picture, or all of a sudden you can separate yourself a little bit there. So how did you feel about how they played today? And, you know, are you very interested in that game Tuesday night and what it could mean for, by the way, the Flyers? When we talk about the Sixers and who they are at home, Flyers are a darn good home team as well. So that part, I think, bodes well. And it says a lot about who the Philadelphia fans are. So your thoughts on how they performed today, and did it go as you expected, knowing that the Lightning had been such a hot team going in? It is All-Star Saturday night. Philadelphia 76ers do not have participants in any of the three events. Does that keep you from watching, or are you all in and watching? Because it usually is pretty entertaining. And one of the things I do like about All-Star Saturday night is that I think it does build, right? So they start with the skills contest, which, by the way, Jason Tatum is the reigning champ. But the last two champions are in that skills contest. The year before, it was Spencer Dinwiddie of Brooklyn who won it. So both of those guys are contestants. And then you'll have the three-point shooting, which I always love. And I like it when somebody gets hot, right? Really hot. And you can have a guy who might sneak in after in that first round, maybe didn't have his best, and ends up winning because they catch lightning in that second round. So are you interested in that? And then when it comes to the dunk contest, I, for one, I'm very interested in seeing Dwight Howard. And I think it's because very rarely do we see, you know, older guys participate. They've been asked to. You know, Dwight did this before, but in his 30s now, do you want to go up against the young guns? And he's going to do it. And he also hinted that one of one could be many, I don't know, of his dunks will have, he hinted at this, he didn't, but have some kind of tribute to Kobe Bryant, as many of the events throughout this weekend have. And then there was a whole debate because this is in Chicago. And I saw an interview with Dominique Wilkins and how, after all these years later, people still come up to him and talk to him about the 1988 slam dunk contest between him and Michael Jordan. Where would you put that one? I mean, is it the greatest of all time, or is it the greatest because of who was in it? Because the dunks have evolved. over time. And the participants using props or dressing up with it or using teammates, that's all evolved with this event. But if you look back, is the one between Dominique and Michael Jordan, why does it still resonate so with people when they want to talk about NBA All-Star Weekend and in particular the dunk contest? And if you want to say yes about that, but, and the but is that you actually have a dunk that really stands out. Like, for instance, I did not remember. I knew he had won one, but Larry Nance was the first to win the dunk contest. I didn't know that's where he fell in those rankings. I know that D. Brown with the pumping of the shoes was cool. I know Spud Webb, because of his size, very cool. I thought Andre Iguodala, in my opinion, maybe got ripped off a little bit in that year. I don't know if you guys remember what he did in terms of, well, you have to YouTube it because on the radio, I have a very hard time describing all that he did. And Nate Robinson ends up winning because they had to go to a dunk off, if you will. So that one, and then I thought the one of recent time between Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine was outstanding. So is anybody out there going to pull for the elderly one in Dwight Howard today? And I just saw him interviewed on NBA TV. I got to tell you, man, he's in shape, that guy. That guy is in shape. But he's going up against some really talented young athletes. But if he's got something up his sleeve, and he's been down this road before, some of it is about the choreography. So we can talk about that. And earlier today, all of the All-Star participants, All-Star game participants, which includes Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, got to speak to the media. And both Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons separately were asked about, can they play together, meaning as a duo here in Philadelphia? Can they make it work? And hopefully I'll be able to play you the Joel sound. The Ben sound was a little hard to hear, but I'll try to type it out so I can read you what he said. I think the bottom line, I know the word respect for each other's games was definitely part of their answers. Joel was a little more forceful of, yes, of course this is going to work. You'll see in the final 27 games. As we've come to see him, he likes to promise that he will deliver or they will deliver. I'm not saying he always comes through, but he doesn't have a problem if he feels strongly about something, saying it will happen. So is that reassuring to you? And we can talk about that there are 27 games left, 14 at home, 13 on the road. They are 9-19 on the road right now. Obviously, they have that amazing best in the business 25-2 home record. And they have the second easiest record, schedule to close out the regular season. All of that means, well, I personally think that being healthy, and the two that really matter is Josh Richardson and Joel Embiid, which being healthy going into the All-Star, since they were the two that were hurt for about a quarter of the first 55 games, 12 games for Joel and 14 for Josh Richardson. Being healthy for those couple of games going into All-Star is a big plus in my book. Getting those two new guys into your rotation, it's a necessity and out of the gate. Don't waste time. And if Glenn Robinson III is going to be your starter, or Furkan's going to be your starter. You know, Furkan was the guy. He put up 0 points in that game against the Clippers. Robinson III started the second half. Is that permanent? It doesn't have to be, I'm not saying set in stone, but you need guys to know where they are in this rotation, because 27 games is, you know, a little bit of time, but not a lot. And everybody needs to be like on the same page going into the postseason. Because even though we can say it doesn't fit perfectly, it doesn't mean it can't work. But the communication of knowing what everybody's role in this thing is going to be and how we're going to play. And, you know, Al Horford, if you're going to be the coming off the bench as a backup center, and that's probably going to be your permanent role from here on out. If that's the case, I'm not making the decision for them. But if it is, like, spell it out early. This is not experimental time when you come back from this break. This is, you know, we got to get it done. 610-632-0975. We can talk about those Flyers. Again, they lost 5-3 down there in Tampa today. And their next game will be against Columbus at home, a team that they are tied with right now with 71 points. So we can talk about them and how you thought today's game. Did it play out the way you thought, considering how well Tampa has been playing? And when it comes to All-Star Saturday night, Jordan Neek, is it the best ever? And why? Because that was 1988. There's been a lot of dunk contests since. And your Philadelphia 76ers. We'll kick it off with Stan in Drexel Hill. Stan, thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, D, always a pleasure to talk to you.
What's going on?
I got to tell you, honestly, in my opinion, that Neek and Jordan one, yeah. I was a little young. I've seen the highlights, but I don't have the same feel for it. For me, I'm going to go with Vince Carter. And I know it wasn't really him going, just because the other dunkers in that, we forget, Steve Francis had some pretty good dunks in that dunk contest, as well as Tracy McGrady. But Vince was just so ahead of the field.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Vince was
so magical.
Yeah.
And it's like, we forget those other guys were doing some fantastic looking dunks, like, especially Steve Francis being like 6'2", 6'3",
sure.
And the way he was able to elevate. And then we know what T-Mac can do. So Vince, and I think the fourth one might have been Baron Davis. I can't remember. But, if it's the same one I'm thinking of, he was actually good in that too. But Vince Carter was just so far and away above everybody in the dunk contest.
Yeah,
it just made it look like he was going up against himself.
Yeah,
you know, the Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine thing, you can always say, to be honest, neither one of them actually won or lost because it was just so great of a dunk contest.
Right. I didn't think either one was superior to the other.
No, I didn't.
I got to tell you, I thought
it was different.
And they were different. So, like, Vince was a name still. Remember when it was still named Neek? Jordan,
right.
These guys were
mm-hmm.
names.
Exactly.
Vince Carter is a name. I mean, when they said Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine at the time, you know, you're saying, what? You know, these are kids.
Yeah, not star players, yeah.
Oh, but when they got going, that to me was unbelievable.
It was just beautiful to watch because they did it in two different ways. You had Aaron Gordon with the power.
Yep.
You know, with stuff. He was not that the elevation wasn't there, but he had the power and the elevation, whereas Zach LaVine just looked like he was gliding.
Yeah.
Like the kid was like through the legs from the free throw line. Like this is crazy stuff. You know what I mean? So it was just fantastic to watch. So to me, that's always going to stick in my head for a long time. And I hope these guys can put on the show tonight.
I hope so too.
Switching over to the Sixers, I got to tell you,
yes.
And I know this is just media stuff, but it's got to be so refreshing to hear Joel and Ben speak so highly of each other just because of all the narrative that you feel like you've heard from all these talk shows. You know,
sure.
You look at Chris Broussard talking about, I think there's jealousy and that these guys don't really like each other. You got, you know, Stephen A. saying he doesn't think Joel Embiid can be the best player on the championship team, and Max saying they got to get traded for them to have their max level of potential filled or whatever. So it's like, it's always great to hear these guys kind of say, no, this is my guy. This is how we're going to do it. And I know they just had that thing with the Junior Sixers, and those photos came out, and you just see them kind of busting it up and laughing. And again, we've always said here in Philly, we don't need y'all to be brothers and best friends.
Yeah, we don't need that. Though I did think it was interesting, and it was probably a couple hours ago now, but there was a picture that Ben's sister took that was a selfie of the three of them.
Three of them together.
So they were definitely somewhere together, and it was a fun picture. It wasn't posed.
Right. It was funny because I follow her. I do follow her on Twitter, and then she says, "Yeah, two Sixers and an Angel."
Yes.
And you see Ben kind of being and Joel being the, you know, goofy
the clown, and Ben
so
the serious one. Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. Like that's what you love to see it because it does feel like at this point it's really like you're watching all these things, and Colin Cowherd is giving us like, you know, we're in a top four for worst fit or something like that, and it's just like, it just seems like we're always getting beat up on. And anytime something comes out in the media, they just run with it. The Sixers beat the Clippers, but the narrative is still being talked about Joel Embiid and the fans. You know what I mean? Where we kind of put it.
But you understand why that happens, right?
No, I get it, but it's kind of just it's so annoying to watch because the Lakers last year, and I one more point before I go.
Yeah.
The Lakers last year, we don't even make the playoffs, right? And this is before anything happens with Anthony Davis. Yet these guys are still talking about them as if they're going to win the championship that year.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of annoying because it's like, wow, the way they would talk. If I didn't know anything about basketball, if I didn't watch any Sixers, the way the national media talks about the Sixers, I would have thought they were a below 500 team that's like literally 13th in their conference. You know what I mean?
Right.
Going forward with these last 27, though, this is my last point. I do believe that the Sixers can have the ability to go 20-7.
Would give them 54.
And I think it's possible. I look at that schedule and I say to myself, I honestly believe that they can go 20-7 and finish off the season winning 54 games, and that could possibly put them in that three seed.
Possibly
you might be tied with Boston.
If you're tied, you win the tiebreaker because of that. Yeah. All right, 20-7's that's bold. I like it. Let me ask you your final thing of the participants for the slam dunk. We got Derrick Jones Jr., Dwight Howard, Aaron Gordon, and then the guy from Milwaukee who could be a sleeper, in my opinion.
He could be a sleeper. I'm gonna go with. I'm kind of torn between the hometown kid and Derrick Jones Jr.
Yep.
And Aaron Gordon, but I'm gonna lean with Aaron Gordon because now this is his third, I believe.
I know.
And now he lost, or it might be his fourth because I think he lost the first time. Then he tried to participate again, and he wasn't able to the best of his ability because he was hurt.
Right.
And then he lost to Zach LaVine. I think that's three. I could be wrong.
No, I think
he got something to prove.
Definitely two. I know that. So it could be his third. Yeah. It's one of them.
I think he's got something to prove. You know, Dwight's already won.
Yep.
You know, so he could just be. I just want Dwight to put on a nice little show.
Oh, he's going to put on a show. I can tell. Hey,
all
Stan,
right.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Great information. Thank you for calling the Fanatic. I appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Donovan, we'll come back and talk with you about the Flyers, Philadelphia Flyers, losing today to Tampa down there in Florida. 5-3 was the final score. We'll talk about that, and we'll continue talking about All-Star Saturday night here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Well, we hope you're enjoying your weekend. It's February weekend. It's also All-Star weekend for the NBA. And it's a nice little break. The two that are representing the home team will be in action tomorrow night when the All-Star game itself plays out, and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons will participate tonight. It's all about the skills contest, the three-point shooting, and the dunk contest. And there's a lot of anticipation for just some good entertainment there. And if we're talking about entertainment earlier today, it was a 4 o'clock start. The Flyers were on the road to take on the Lightning, and the Lightning have been red hot. They went into this game on a 9-game winning streak. They come out of the game with a 5-3 win, and so they have now won 10 in a row. And amazingly, Tampa Bay is still behind Boston by a point in the Atlantic Division standings. 5-3 was the final. Let's check in with Donovan in Philly, who wants to talk about the Flyers. Donovan, how are you?
Good. How are you, D?
Good.
Good. Thank you. So I just have to say right off the bat, I'm not disappointed with the result with the Flyers, but I am a bit upset. I know the two things may be kind of alluded there, but I think if Hart makes the save on Killorn in the first period, you don't have that empty net goal, and the game's tied at 3-3. Mm. But moving on from the Lightning game, I think it's crucial for the Flyers to win both of these games against Columbus on Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah, how about, do you like when they do that back-to-back like that?
You know, the Flyers have had a pretty rough schedule this year.
Yeah.
They've had the most back-to-backs out of any team. They started off the year in Prague,
I meant more that you're playing the team that the points are so critical against, because they both, well, we'll see what happens with Columbus tomorrow. But then you're in a back-to-back situation. If, let's just say, somebody loses both of those, that's a big switch in your standings.
Exactly. And you know what? That makes for really entertaining hockey down this time of year.
That's true. That's a good point.
But I think if they win both of these games, and if Patrick comes back, I don't think they make a move at the trade deadline as well. But if they lose a game and they don't get Patrick back in the near future, I think it's a necessity for the Flyers to make a move at the trade deadline.
They seemed, the article yesterday, and it had saying that each day it seems like he's still not cleared to participate fully, but it seems like the GM was saying it's soon. And I think that sounds good. It doesn't sound like he's ever taken a step back. And when you're talking about him being on the ice, I mean, I don't know how close that is or how long you stretch that out, but it would seem from yesterday's article that it's sooner than later for sure.
Yeah, and that would be crucial for this team to have an additional center in the lineup, additional depth, and that's what you need come playoff time.
Sure. So I agree. Did you watch today's game?
I did, yeah. I didn't watch it, but I was listening to Tim on the radio today.
Right, same kind of thing. But yeah. I will say I missed the very beginning, so I walk in, it was already 1-0. And, you know, then you're doing some stuff around the house in between periods. And when they fell behind 3-0, I was a little concerned just because of how well Tampa has been playing, and defensively especially. I don't know if you heard some of those stats during defensively what they had done in their 9-game winning streak. So for them to then get that goal by Provorov, and then that was Drew's 234th assist on the power play, which anytime you bring up Bobby Clark's name as tying him, it says something about the longevity of another person in that franchise, which I thought was pretty cool too.
Yeah, and I have to agree exactly with your point about Tampa's defense, only letting in 13 goals in the last five games.
I know, unbelievable.
Yeah, they've had two 10-game winning streaks this season, and both of those 10, the final game that they needed to get 10 games was against the Flyers, which is ironic and funny.
That is ironic. That's, all right, well, we'll see what happens against Columbus. I hope tomorrow you should cheer for New Jersey, because I'd like it to be all
absolutely.
I'd like it to be all even when they go into those two games.
Yep.
Yep.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Right,
have a great night.
I appreciate it. You too. Thanks for calling the Fanatic. 610-632-0975. So Donovan was watching or listening, which we always like to hear that too. I love listening to Tim and Coatsy. I think they're funny. Coatsy was ready to pull the goalie with 6.5 minutes left. And I love when he said, I know what I would do here. So were you doing the same? And will you pay extra attention just because of the significance of these next two games against Columbus? I had mentioned the Tuesday game, but he is right. It's back-to-back against the Blue Jackets. So we'll see what happens. And I do think the first one being at home is significant because of how they have played at home. And is All-Star Saturday night part of your evening entertainment? We were talking about the best dunk contest of all time. And the reason I brought it up is because the Dominique Jordan showdown took place in Chicago in 1988. And a lot of people talk about that. But one of our earlier callers, Stan, was saying, you know, it has to go, you know, Vince Carter. And I was reminded, like, I didn't even remember who was in it against Vince. I just can picture everything Vince did. And I remember Vince Carter saying that he went into that contest with ideas of what he was going to do, and he scrapped the whole thing and he improvised, which is a very dangerous thing. But you could only do it if you were Vince Carter, because Vince Carter used to tape the dunk contests and study them. And he was studying, like, what did that guy do? Why would he do that dunk? What was he trying to show that was such a elite skill? And so the only way a person could go and just in a moment come up with something is because he had studied so many dunks that had been done in a dunk contest. And then, of course, since he had such amazing athleticism. So now that Stan brought Vince into the argument, is Vince the best in terms of dunk contest participants all time? Or do you do the Neek Jordan thing because it was the duel between two amazing high flyers in their own right? And then if we want to turn it back to the Sixers, hopefully on the other side, I'll have some sound from Joel Embiid, because both he and Ben Simmons at a media availability earlier today were asked about their other teammate, the other cornerstone, because they're both, let's face it, they're both cornerstones of this franchise. And so they were asked. Keith Pompey definitely was one asking. He started the conversation with each of them. But it's, there's plenty of national media there, and it can continue. And we have seen and heard national media have a take on who these two are and what this organization looks like in terms of their play right now. And so Joel Embiid seemed pretty emphatic that this is going to work. Our games can work. And he even pointed to the last couple of years. You can see that it worked. I'm not sure that we all see that. I think we see that other parts of it had worked. But now it's time for people really want to see that both of their games stay at a high level on a day-to-day basis. Like, can't be one guy and the other's just standing around or not going to the strengths of his game. So for Embiid, as he showed in the Clippers game, a want and an ability to get in the paint, get on the block, and less of hanging around at the three-point arc. And with Ben, one, looking, I would say he looked for Embiid more. Two, continue his attack of the rim that has equaled him not being afraid to get fouled and him continuing to go to the foul line. These are things that those two guys must continue to show, that just because the other guy is on the court with me at the same time does not mean one of us takes a back seat to the other. We can thrive together. And so the words came out today in Chicago that they believe that can happen. They had a good starting point by having arguably their best game together on the court at the same time in the final game before the break against the Clippers, where they combined for 52 points and many other statistics as well. So can they continue to carry that over? And if they do, our one caller said they think they could go 20-7 in the back half of this, back third. And if that were the case, they would improve on last year's win total and they would have 54 for the year. What does that get them? And will they go into this the scariest team in the postseason, because they will have spent the first 55 games kind of floundering, and yet there they were, and now they come trending upwards in the final 27 with some talent, with some all-star talent. 610-632-0975. Your Sixers, how do you feel about those back 27? And your Flyers, they have a big back-to-back, two games coming up this week against Columbus after falling today 5-3 to Tampa. I agree with Donovan. I don't think that today you shouldn't be upset with that loss. It was a very, very hot Tampa Bay Lightning team who now has won 10 in a row. And as he pointed out, it's their second 10-game winning streak this season. So that is behind them, but these next two are oh so important. 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
we welcome you back to 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line, I'm with you until 10 o'clock. I was just going through Twitter because, you know, these All-Star weekends are always kind of quiet elsewhere. Now, there was a lot of college basketball on today, and as I'm going through Twitter, I should give a shout-out to a freshman of Westchester basketball who scored 50 points, Robbie Heath. Had 50 points in the Golden Rams beat Bloomsburg 100-97 today. And he has a perfect picture with the number 50 on a white piece of paper and holding it up a la the Wilt Chamberlain 100 pose. So 50 points for freshman Robbie Heath in that win for Westchester today. And a couple other things just on Twitter that I, again, when you're there's not a lot of games, local games happening. Ben Simmons' parents have a great, cool picture holding up Simmons' jersey with Barack Obama. And Simmons put it on his Twitter account, and he just has the number 44 with the American flag, our 44th president. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. And just a short while ago, Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, announced that the MVP of the All-Star game, that award will now be named the Kobe Bryant MVP Award. And as we anticipated, many things this weekend will be, you know, honoring Kobe. And actually, I saw a number of people, not just Kobe, but also those who died in that helicopter crash. But Kobe in particular and his daughter, Gigi. So we've been talking about coming up. It will be the slam dunk contest. It will be the skills competition. It will be the three-point shooting contest. I always said to myself, I wanted Kyle Korver to win that three-point shooting contest so badly when he participated as a Philadelphia 76er. It didn't happen. But I think that all three of these events are fun events. They really are. Will you be watching? And which of the three do you find most entertaining? Because, you know, some people really do think that three-point shooting contest on given years can be the better, can be better than the dunk contest. Now, this year, I think the dunk contest is going to crush it. I really do. I think the influence, I don't know, there's just the Dwight Howard, you know, coming back to do it. To have Aaron Gordon in it, who's finished second in the past. I'm all of a sudden forgetting my guy Jones from Miami. Why am I forgetting his first name? And then you have the guy Connaughton out of Milwaukee, who I say can be the sleeper. So, but I will be entertained, as I usually am, on All-Star Saturday night. We were talking about the dunk contest and those of past. And in particular, do you find yourself that when these kind of events come up, and it's in all sports, for instance, I'm not a big fan, I don't watch the Pro Bowl, and I don't really pay attention to the NHL All-Star, but I do love the baseball All-Star game and the Home Run Derby in particular. I think that's always entertaining, and there's some cool stuff that you always see. And some of it has to do with the cutaway shots of different people watching or who are on hand for the event. And again, it's one of those things which is similar to the three-point shooting contest where a person can catch fire and now that gets the whole crowd in it, right? So, I don't know. Have anybody out there, if you've ever been to one in person and if you have any recollections of that, I'm open to hearing that. And do you have, of just like I said, I like these two. The baseball and the basketball stand out to me as All-Star games that I care about. The others, not as much. And obviously, because I follow the sport of basketball more so than anything else. There have been times, though, the All-Star game itself I have not enjoyed. I like the Saturday night often more than Sunday. Now, with these new rule changes for tomorrow, I am going to be interested in seeing how that impacts the game. You know, they wipe the slate clean of the score after each quarter, 1, 2, and 3. And then they will determine what the first team two, and it'll be a number that is determined by adding up those three scores after, you know, heading into the fourth. So I want to see how that all plays out. And does it change the competition of it? Because technically it should make for a closer score. It should, because you know that you have a chance, meaning it should make that fourth quarter matter. Is on paper, this is the way it's supposed to be. And then if we talk about the serious side of the NBA, and in particular about the Sixers, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, I'll get Ben Simmons in a moment for you, but Joel Embiid was asked by Keith Pompey of Inquirer.com about, can he and Ben Simmons play together? Is this a winning combination? Not just win some games, but win it all. And here's what Joel Embiid had to say.
I think it's BS because when you look at the last couple of years, the last 2 years that we've been playing together, it was not a problem. You know, the issue is all your problem because at times our offense has struggled. And I think he's definitely going to be better than last after the All-Star break. Just look at the last 2 years, what we've been able to do. And I think he can work and he's going to work.
It's going to work. So the BS part was the answer. People say you guys can't play together. That was how it phrased, just so you have an idea of why he started his answer like that. And then he said, it's going to work. It's definitely going to work. And he referenced the offensive struggles in parts of the first 55 games of this season. And so I say to you, he acknowledges the offensive struggles. Did they overcome them? Have they absolutely figured it out, even though you only saw it for one game, just by shuffling a lineup, by having a simple lineup change? And that lineup change is Al Horford leaving the starting lineup and coming off the bench and having him play backup 5 minutes for the most part. Now, he and Embiid each played only 28 minutes in that Clippers game. So we'll see how those minutes affect each other moving forward. You know, will you only play and be 28 minutes? He was in foul trouble for that game. That's why that played out like that. And if not, Horford will end up still playing, you know, stretch 4 minutes. But do you not have the three of them, Embiid, Horford, and Simmons, on the court together, not even for a minute? Because that is what led them down that path of bad offense. The statistics proved it out. And if we're on that subject of the lineup change, who do you want in that starting lineup moving forward? Because I know I've had many people either hit me up on social media or even last night call in, and they want a set rotation. I'm not as big on that as others, but I understand, and I think players are big on it. They want to know where their place is in a rotation. So who would you put in the starting five moving forward? Furkan had a bad game against the Clippers. No points. He was the starter. He did not start the third quarter. Glenn Robinson the third did. And if it is Glenn Robinson the third, is Alec Burks going to be okay that he was not him selected? Because he's been a starter out there in Golden State and could be that guy. Will it sit okay with him that he didn't get the nod to be that starter if, in fact, the change is being made at the very time when he's joining the club? 610-632-0975. Also, those Flyers, they were 5-3. They lost 5-3 earlier today. I hate to say 5-3 losers. That just doesn't come out right. They lost 5-3 down there in Tampa. They were in a dead tie, and it remains that way, with Columbus, each having 71 points. If you were to look at the playoff picture, they are the wild card. They are 1-2 right there for the wild card. And they will play each other not once, but twice this week. First at the Wells Fargo Center on Tuesday, and then at Columbus on Thursday. Big, big week for the Philadelphia Flyers. How did you feel about their performance today? And overall, is it more important that they handle these two games with Columbus coming up? D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Taking your calls on the other side.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.